When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Steve here. None of the scenarios on this show are based on actual events. Believe it or not, they're completely made up. Enjoy!
I'm Griffin.
I'm Stephen M. Bones.
And this is Killed to Death.
And it's the Improvised True Crime Podcast.
The grooviest podcast in town.
Do you think we should add that in? Since the 70s. and it still works. Yeah, I think we should keep
it. It still holds true, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to let people know what they're in for.
Well, they know, I guess, that's the full iTunes description. So they should know what they're getting themselves into. And that's what most reviews say, too.
Yeah. And that's what we'll say most episodes before they end.
Yeah. So, you know what? Maybe we say it enough. We, of course, both saw the gorgeous Green Knight, the new film, which is an adaptation of an old epic Arthurian poem.
Did you see the Green Knight, to step out for a moment?
Oh, you don't want to play the game like we... But yeah, I did see it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just curious.
Worry.
Okay, hopping back in, we both saw it.
No, I did see it. First time back in a movie theater. It's never felt so right. So, of course, there are tons of other things that can be adapted into these modern classics. So today we're just going to list a couple of other legends and folklore that we think need to be adapted for the big screen. Get on it, Hollywood.
And I'm finding it immediately tough to think of one that hasn't been.
No, we
Steve,
have
do you
five.
Have a number one?
We have five, and they haven't been touched. Number one, let's start. It's my thing that needs to be adapted.
Let's start good and then get worse.
With Stinky Cheese Man.
Oh, that the kid's book.
Well, you can still read it as an adult.
And it had all the different fables in it about
the Stinky Cheese Man and other fairly stupid tales.
It was like, I don't know, Chicken Little, but he's stupid. And like the,
know,
Rumpel,
so you've read
dumb
it.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Dumpelstiltskin. Yeah. So you know it. Princess and the Pea, but she's sleeping on a bowling ball or something.
That's right. Yeah. For people who don't know, it's like a parody of these fairy tales. And the cover is like a guy with a huge wheel of cheese that's his head.
Yeah. And that's funny. And think of who we could get to play the Stinky Cheese Man. Javier Bardem?
Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah. He could come out of retirement and get very method and always smell like cheese.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. So that's my number one. These things don't have to be all sour and grumpy. These can be funny.
That's true. Not enough movies are funny. That was my big problem with The Green Knight. Is those jokes for me fell very flat.
Yeah, it was a little rough. Honestly, dev bombed. We can say it.
The guy
no
stank
one was
it
laughing.
Up.
Yeah.
So number two, I would like to say the fable of the tooth fairy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy who comes to your house, he takes your teeth.
They did that once with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes, but I was still unable to think of one that hadn't been.
Oh, well, you know what? Everything's a freaking reboot nowadays.
Everything's
so.
A reboot. So we do need to...
Let's do it again.
Let's just do a reboot of the story. We don't need to see a film necessarily. Let's just retell the story.
To your kids.
But we'll make it kind of modern. Like, I'll be like, hey, like, the Tooth Fairy's going to come tonight. He's going to take out your teeth with his phone.
Right. And adjusted for inflation, he's going to give you $5 under your pillow. It's gotta
he
be
has
now.
COVID.
What a kid's gonna do with a quarter?
Yeah. So that's my reboot of the Tooth Fairy
good.
Story.
That's good. And mine's definitely got to be that old, it's an old photo album from my place. Photos of me and my family. That has not been adapted.
What is the plot of that exactly?
You get to make up your own, and that's what's kind of beautiful. You see what connects all the different...
So the movie's going to be a slideshow.
Yep.
Just kind of picture mm-hmm. credits.
Mm-hmm. Which I've never seen. So I'm thinking I might rent out a theater and actually just play a slideshow of old family photos. And that might just do it. That might be enough for me.
What you're saying is the photo album you have full of pictures, you're wishing you could just see them all in a row.
Yeah, and much bigger. I hate turning pages.
Yeah.
And I want to eat messy, sticky popcorn as I do it.
I'm going to say for number four. Is this four?
Sure. Yeah.
That photo album of you from mm-hmm. your family's house as well.
Mm, thank you. Thank you.
You're
welcome to come to the theater, and you're welcome to also check it out.
And oh, wow. I passed.
Yeah. That's all you had to do is put it in the to-do list.
That's right. Who are you going to get to play you in the pictures?
A young me. A de-aged me. Number five is probably Jungle Cruise.
Was that a story?
It is now, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, I'd like to see that adapted back into story form.
Yeah, yeah, I think we should write a book about it. Let's make it an epic poem.
Steve, speaking of epic, do you want to start one of our classic episodes?
Yeah, well, yeah. This show is, that used to be our catchphrase. For a brief period in like 2009 or something.
That was back when we briefly weren't the grooviest podcast in town.
Yes, yeah.
That was rough. The victim. Judge Samuel Gorge. Found dead before a trial. Today's guest. Clint Southwood. Bailiff who found the judge. Bailiff, hello.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
First of all, do I need to address you as bailiff?
Yeah, I don't know,
but
you did.
That just felt natural.
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right. Bailiff, thank you for being here.
I just ask that you listen to my truth, my whole truth, and nothing but my truth.
So help you, God.
Yes, so help you, God. Because the story you're about to hear, oh boy.
You're blowing dust off an old book.
Yeah.
Is that the Bible?
Anyways, we should move on.
Hey, you don't have to be embarrassed. Lots of people have Bibles.
And people swear on
them.
It's
a telephone book, okay? I lost my Bible. I'm sorry. I put it in my carry-on. I thought I did, but they have the same weight, so it must have been...
Lot of the same names. There's some Matthews, there's some mm-hmm. Lukes.
Thank you. Yeah, you see? So there you go. It's basically still works.
Were you traveling somewhere? Are you not at home?
Oh, no. You see, I can't be at home. It's too hot. It's too hot an area, you know? I feel the people watching me because I know too much.
Oh, wow. I see that kind of heat.
Right.
No, not the literal
not
kind
not
of
the summer
heat.
Heat.
Okay. No, it's very, very, very cold where I live.
Where do you live?
Alaska.
Is it a town we know? Is this Anchorage or one of the smaller ones?
Oh, it's
the only
one
I know.
It's one of the smaller ones.
So I don't know it. Okay.
Which one?
Yeah.
It's that one right beside Juneau called Puno.
Yeah, kind of a parody town.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Puno, Alaska.
Very parody. We're very much like the little sister who wants to be Juno. Yeah, right. But, you know, maybe one day we'll get there.
Do you have versions of their landmarks?
Yeah. Well, no. We do, however, have the world's largest baked Alaska right in the center. You know the dessert, Baked Alaska?
I don't.
I don't, but I think that's pretty impressive still.
The dessert is basically, it's like, and I know this for a fact, it is ice cream, and then it is covered in like a meringue, and then you blowtorch the meringue.
Oh, okay, I have seen this.
Yes, okay. And so there is a constant blowtorch going on in Puno, and it is costing many, many a money, but it is our pride and joy of the town.
How big is this? Is this like a town square kind of big, or is this just like larger than the average?
Oh, town square.
Wow. So you have
people
a huge
from Juno
flame
come.
That wow. like lights up the town with this big blowtorch.
It's barely ever dark in Puno.
And no, is that because of the sun as well?
You know what? That probably is that as well, now that you mentioned it. Yeah.
Is it? It's one of those towns that's that far up north that you can get like crazy days like that?
Yeah. All day, and there's no night. No night whatsoever.
Oh.
So the crime is ready to see in plain sight.
Is there a lot of crime in Puno?
Huh! Oh, you're talking to the bailiff of Puno. I've seen so much crime, it's ridiculous.
Well, I guess you've seen the result of the crime.
Yeah.
Oh,
have
I?
Are you witnessing the actual crimes?
You know, I've never actually witnessed a crime until... that fateful day.
Oh. Faithful?
Yeah. What is this?
Fateful, I'm sorry.
Is this a Sunday?
Where no, you read the phone book?
Yeah.
Sorry, I get so caught up in my phone book sometimes that I meant to say fateful. That it was a fateful day, not faithful, especially not for the judge.
Now, what is the job of bailiff, first of all? You're like kind of like, are you like a security guard?
That's actually very highly offensive. No, I am way above
security
guard.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Guard. No, yeah, you should be. So what I do, I do keep everything in order in the courtroom, and I do make sure it is secure. But I
oh, really?
Because
usually I thought it was the judge who commanded order.
I don't think that's right.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Do you have your own little gavel?
I do, and it's been taken away many times, but I still bring it, because I believe that it does help, you know, with my power complex, you know? I still hold power in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm holding the book here, right?
You lead people in and out, is that part of the job?
I do, I lead people in and out, I you know, if they're getting a little antsy, I go, hey, yeah, you gotta calm down, and then I go back. I say it very sternly, though. Yeah, so. And that
it's
usually.
It's that lean, dominance.
It's the lean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You gotta make the eye contact, like, buddy, I need you to stop right now. Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I hit them with it, and that's when it usually gets taken away. So.
If
yeah.
someone's getting a little antsy, like nervous about their trial, you'll come over and be like, hey, calm down, and then bop them on the head.
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
I guess if I were a bailiff.
Yeah. It's hard to put myself in the shoes of a bailiff, though. It sounds like a very difficult job.
It's very difficult. Not many people are built for it, you know? So.
Are you the... I imagine in Puno, the courthouse system is very small. Is there only one bailiff, kind of one judge? It's a mom-and-pop courthouse.
Well, there were two bailiffs. There was me and a fellow bailiff whose name was... John,
okay.
Corey,
okay.
But unfortunately, he no longer works with the courthouse anymore.
Oh, so you got some extra shifts? Nice.
I do. Yes, I'm racking up the dough. I might make for all these traveling expenses. I need the money.
Right. Yeah. Because I are you just hopping around the country now?
I am. So they can't catch me.
Do people think you did this?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they do. And it has been a huge, ginormous misunderstanding. And I feel like nobody's hearing me out, which is why I came to you guys.
Well, but, let's hear your side of things.
Right.
Thank you. That's all I truly wanted.
So, look.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I just start.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought you were about to say something. And I was worried I cut you off. Tell us, first of all, about the day. So you're going to a trial. Is this a specific one? Do you already know about it?
Oh, yes. This is a trial that's been going on for a few weeks, actually. The biggest trial we've had in Puno. It was a trial. It was the people against the Travis Burlington.
Travis Burlington.
He did some unspeakable things to the town of Puno. He
Can
he
you
went,
speak about them?
I mean, I guess. So he went to all of the signs in Puno and wrote like a J. And so then we thought people were thinking that it was Juno.
Oh, they thought they were in the wrong town.
They thought they were in the wrong town, and then people started moving, and they couldn't find Puno, and then people were just very confused as to what's happening, and it caused many a many mental breakdown in the town of Puno. Nobody knew where they were. It was very sad. Some sick joke.
Saw a sign, thought, wait a minute, I've been living in Juno this whole time. They go back home, pack up, and try and leave to go find Puno.
My theory is this. Oh, okay.
No, I'd love to hear your theory, actually, because there's multiple out there.
is that they go outside and they see a sign that says Juno now, and they're like, oh no, I live in Puno. I better go somewhere else.
Yes.
And they
yes.
leave trying to find
right.
it.
And there's no Puno.
Yeah, they're just wandering the Alaskan wilderness.
How many people did he
like,
get?
Like, what's his name? Christopher McCandless or whatever.
That's exactly his name.
Yeah.
He got a good half of the town. We are very trusting people who very much trust our signs. And when they tell us something, we believe it. So we're just suing Travis. There, people are suing him for gas expenses, you know, therapy, you know, taking their kids out of school, pain and suffering. All of these things, you know, because it caused total pandemonium in the town of Puno.
Wow. So this, yeah, I'm sure this was a very hotly contested case. A lot of protesters out front every day. You had to fight through a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely had to try and keep everything under control at the courtroom. It was very hard for one bailiff to do.
You only got one hammer.
Thank you.
Sometimes.
They won't let me bring two. Yeah. It was so rude.
Well, it sounds like they don't let you bring one. You kind of just sneak that one in.
Yeah, no, you're right. One day, though, it's persistence. You know, you keep bringing it. What are they going to do?
Dress for the job you want.
Exactly.
With a little hammer.
Exactly.
Do you have aspirations to be a judge?
Oh, me? Little old Clint? I don't know if I could possibly. It's such a huge role to declare whether somebody is innocent or guilty of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pressure.
Well, you could do that today. If you figure out who did this, you can say guilty or not guilty. That was pretty exciting.
And what do you know? I brought my hammer. And maybe
perfect.
It's all coming together.
Where are you right now? This looks gorgeous in the background.
Oh, yes, thank you. I can't give you my exact location, but I am in a very tropical climate.
Okay.
Yeah. Enough
so
said.
Not even close to the exact location. All right. Well, yeah, I understand. Yes. There's a lot of heat.
It's very hot.
We've heard the climate. We are narrowing it down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Not too close, I hope.
So you go, you're walking into this trial of Travis Burlington.
Yes.
I'm sure you get to the courthouse before everyone else. Is that the case?
Usually, yes. You know, I am an early riser, so I get there around 4 a.m. I turn on the lights. You know, do a quick sweep, depending on who closed the last day. It might be a little more dirtier.
Right.
So I just have to, you know.
It's probably you, right? Like, there's no other bailiff.
Yeah, well, John Tory's gone.
That's
John
the thing.
Corey, please.
Oh, John Corey, sorry.
Can you please have some respect for John?
This is a parody of John Tory.
Yes. So usually, yes, it is me who closes, and sometimes I close in a sleepy stupor because I'm at the courthouse for more than 14 hours. So, you know, then I'm back, I open up everything, and you know, that's when the news vans and the protesters start to come. Oh, my goodness, they're the bane of my existence, constantly berating me with questions. Pardon?
Nothing.
Okay, constantly berating me with questions, and it's not like I know everything. I just want justice as well, because I was also affected by Travis's actions.
Right.
You know?
Did you move?
Mm-hmm.
I did. I definitely did. I was like, Juno is not my home, Puno is. And I drove circles and circles. And it was horrible. It was very horrible.
How did you finally figure out Was it you or was it someone else who finally figured out this was some cruel prank?
So I ran out of gas and I just started wandering. And I went to a hospital because that was the nearest building I saw. And I said, "Ma'am, I know this is Juno, but please take me to Puno." And then she was like,
"That's what hospitals do."
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's what I thought a hospital does.
"Hey, I need a lift.
Can you just get one of the ambulances to drop me off at Puno?"
They can go through red lights.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I gotta get there fast to open the courtroom. So then I ask her about it, and she gives me this weird look. It says, "Sir, I'm pretty sure you're in Puno." And I was like, "Ma'am, I don't appreciate being lied to, especially after I ran out of gas." Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I took out my Bible, or it might have been my telephone book, and I asked her to swear, "Are we in Puno?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I've worked at this place in Puno for 25 years. We are in Puno." And that's when I knew, God damn it, we've been bamboozled.
So
you figured it out. You uncovered this.
I did. And, you know, I had to tell everybody else that it's, you know, we're here. We were here the whole time. It was very M. Night Shyamalan-esque.
Yes. Everyone is a little older.
Pardon?
Yeah, it was just a joke about being old.
Oh.
Because he has that movie where everyone's old on a beach. That's all right. That, you already know they get old on the beach.
That's a tropical climate.
Oh,
are you on the beach?
What? Yeah, let's talk about this case, hey? Wow, lots of stuff to get through here. So yeah, it was like any other day, just opening up. The news cars were coming, and the judge shows up.
Okay, so he shows up and is alive.
He shows up to the courtroom alive and ready to proceed with the hearing. He's always very professional, very ready to take on the trial, because, you know...
That's good.
Yeah, he loves justice just as much as any other judge.
Okay, above average, yep. I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, the judge comes in. I ask him about his night. He says, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. He heard some racket. A lot the night before outside of his bedroom, kind of caused him not to be able to sleep a lot. I was like, "Oh, that's unfortunate. Probably just a deer." Outside his room, you know,
knocking on his door.
Weirder things have happened in Puno, so maybe I just like, "It's probably a deer, sir. You're fine." And he was like, "You're probably right. What else could it possibly be?" So, anyways.
Number one.
Yeah, noise. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. So, anyways, yeah. Well, it hits 9 o'clock, so we gotta start setting up the courtroom. So
you have to like fold out all the like pews and everything at the beginning of the day.
Yes, they're all foldable, and so then I'm just popping them out.
So it's you and the judge have to set up the room.
Yes. I'm so happy that he's been, because since John quit, I've been really needing an extra set of hands, and he's really been there to help me, and I really appreciate it. He's actually grown to be a very good friend, which is why it hurts that people think that I did this.
Right, so you and Judge Samuel Gorge, you're unfolding the room for the day.
Yes, unfolding the room, and I just asked the judge, "Hey Judge, do you have any inkling of whether or not Travis will be found guilty or not?" He goes, "You know, something in my heart tells me that he's innocent." And I say, "What? But judge, all the evidence. It's plain, it's easy and obvious to see." And then he said, "I think something's going to come out on trial today. Change everything."
Whoa.
And I said, "I have to go unfold the jury chairs now, excuse me."
There's 12 of those, that's a lot.
Yeah, so I had to get to that. So we didn't quite finish the conversation, but that was always in the back of my mind.
Well, he shouldn't know that evidence is coming. Or I guess they do have to tell him in advance, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Okay, that's, we're getting a yes, yes from the bailiff. You
know. Okay, yeah. So he
as a bailiff, I know this.
Okay, so he had the scoop. And how far did they get in the trial? At what point did you find him dead?
Well, the judge called a recess right as...
For everyone to go outside and play.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. So there's a nice adult gym set up.
Like
so
weightlifting?
Yeah, weightlifting. We got some good mats. You can do some tumbles. You know, just to get the jury some exercise. They're sitting for a while, you know. Physical activity is very important.
Sure. Keeps the mind sharp, too.
Keeps the mind sharp, absolutely. So, yes, we call a recess. You know, the prosecution goes into their quarters. The defendant and Travis go to somewhere else. I'm actually not quite sure. But anyways, I'm there just,
you know. Why would
you
know?
Why would
Why would you keep track of the person who's charged?
I only have two eyes. Really. I have to look at a whole adult gym. Right. It's a lot for one person. So, I remember the last thing I said to Judge was, "Hey, Judge Gorge, I'm just gonna go to look at supervise the adults at the adult gym." yeah. So I'll be right back in 15 minutes when we resume the trial. And then he grabs my shoulder and he goes, "Clint, make sure you always search for the truth. And whoa, nothing but the truth."
Wow.
So help him God.
Wow.
And I said, "That's my line." And then I walked out. And that was the last interaction. That was the last time I saw Judge Gorge alive.
Let's talk, just before we take a break, let's talk briefly about you finding him dead.
Was this after recess?
Yeah, the bell rings. Everyone comes back in.
They wash
line up, do a head count.
Gotta do it. Yeah, buddy system. Everyone's good, accounted for. You know, so the judge is there. Prosecution's back. Defendant's back. We're all just waiting for the judge. So I go, "Well, I'll just go in the back and check on him." So I, you know, give the old door a knock.
On his green room.
On his green room. I'm like, "Judge, you need it on set." And
5 minute call, Judge.
5 minutes, Judge. You're over your 5 minute call. I hear no response, and so I knock again, and I you know, just to be gentlemanly, and you know, nothing. So I ever so slightly creak the door open, and I see the judge on the floor with a full baked Alaska shoved in his mouth.
Oh,
dead.
Wow. Still
was
on
this
fire.
This the world famous big one.
No, that would have been too big. I don't know how that would have gotten to the courtroom, but it was just a regular baked Alaska. And
wow,
it was the most horrendous scene I've ever seen.
Well, what we're going to do is take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, hopefully we can figure out who shoved this baked Alaska down the judge's throat.
Oh, please. I really just want to be seen as innocent, please. It wasn't me.
Hey, we believe you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll be right back. And we are back on the grooviest podcast in town, Killed to Death.
Epic, man.
It is epic. Well, it was for a brief period in 2009.
Briefly epic, man.
We're still here with Steve.
Briefly epic, man. I already used my catchphrase.
And we're still here with Bailiff Clint Southwood.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, you are currently on the run. Oh, it's been a half hour, and you are noticeably 1 year older.
Oh yeah, wait a minute.
We can tell.
No, I think it's just the lighting. Actually.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's a very harsh. The sun. Anyways.
Why is that baby who is behind you walking?
What?
Now?
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's talk about the case, huh? So that judge is dead. What?
Yes, we're talking about Judge Samuel Gorge. After a brief recess, you came back in. Everyone was ready for the trial. Again, this is, of course, the trial of Travis Burlington, who crossed out. Or did he cross out, or did he just put a J in front of the Puno signs?
Yeah, he put a J in front of
the
Puno
signs. So they still said J Puno, but everyone just kind of got confused.
P is silent, I guess.
Well, you usually just look at the first letter when you read, and you kind of guess the rest, right? Is that not what everybody does?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the pandemonium that was caused, some of that's your guys' fault.
I highly, highly disagree with that. What a ridiculous thing to say.
Oh, sorry.
You should be. Anyways, the judge is dead. So I run out in a frenzy saying, you know, being like, oh, actually, no, I run out in a frenzy. And then I was like, wait, I have to be calm for the people, because if I freak out, they'll freak out. So I come out and I say, people of the courtroom, today's trial will end early. The judge is not feeling well.
Well played. You winked at them.
I winked at them and they all looked very confused. But that was more just for me, but I kind of forgot about. Anyways, so yes, I say that. I wink. They all leave apprehensively. And then I call security and I ask them, I tell them.
So you are not security.
I'm a bailiff.
So you're above them, but you need to call them for help.
Wow. You see, what's happening here, I feel, is an attack on my role and position. Sometimes I need the help of inferiors to deal with some, you know, less than great work. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Why do people
everything.
Think you did this?
People think I did this because I dismissed the trial early. The wink was definitely working against me.
Yeah.
And I tried to keep it very low key. And because I was one of the people who was the closest to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in proximity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right now, standing right there.
Yes. People, but I'm pretty sure the jury saw me the whole time out supervising them, and I thought I had a very good alibi, but none of them could account for me, which was so weird. And people are just assuming, you know, due to proximity and all that stuff, that I did it. But what would be my motive? I loved the judge.
Yeah. Now, one other thing that I don't want to forget about is the weird noises he heard the night before.
Yes. Did he describe them at all, or is it just noises?
He said he heard kind of a blowtorch sound.
And you were like, oh, probably just a deer.
Yes, because I read somewhere that deers are known to make that kind of sound when they're aroused, like a blowtorch. So I was like, it's probably just a horny deer, sir. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, probably just a horny deer.
But, you know, it might have actually just been a blowtorch.
Mm-hmm.
A blowtorch maybe for a baked Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone was going to maybe do an attempt that night and backed out for whatever reason?
The door was locked, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's always a big obstacle.
That's the they were also like just trying to get in. They couldn't.
Does he lock the door on his green room?
Mm.
He doesn't.
All of a sudden, obstacle. This is not a locked room mystery.
So the person just needed an open door, really, to get to the judge.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When God closes a window,
he opens the judge's green room door and kills him with a baked Alaska.
Yeah. We don't think this was God, do we?
I can't rule it out.
We can't rule anything out right now, honestly.
He's pissed you lost that Bible.
Oh, gosh, no. It's just... Well, it makes me feel so guilty. If only I was there to protect his door, I could have protected this from all happening.
Yeah, that does seem like it's directly your job, too.
Okay, well, what I don't need is the attack. Okay, what I need is some sympathy.
Only two eyes and a lot of adults that need supervising out in a gym.
It can get very dangerous. They're not allowed to play Red Rover, but they continue to play Red Rover. And I keep having to say, dislocated shoulders happen all the time. But they still do it every time I turn my back. So it's what am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, make them go stand at the wall.
Oh, you know, and then they just do their own little dumb games there.
Send them to the judge's office.
Ooh. Let's see if I did that. They would have won.
You're in trouble.
Oh, you should have done that. No. I tried to be lenient with them because they're just jury members. You know, they don't know that much. Well,
mm-hmm.
So sending them to the judge just seems so much. Too much, really.
Now, the judge also said that in the Travis Burlington case, there was going to be some shocking evidence that day, because he had seen it beforehand, that would prove Travis innocent.
Yes. Yes. It was going to be presented after recess, I remember the prosecution saying. The judge, when the judge made direct eye contact with me, and I said, is there something on my face? And he said, remember earlier? And I was like, oh! So, yeah, I think...
The judge should not be allowed to share this information with you and be like, hey, it's coming up.
Hinting at it like a little preview.
Pay attention, the good evidence is coming.
He's like, look at this, check this out.
You're going to want to see this.
He gets the popcorn. So I was very excited. And then, yeah, before I could see the evidence... he was killed.
Right.
So to this day, I still don't know what that evidence was.
Beep, 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 beep.
We know this sound. It's the Skype theme song. What we do in response is click hello. Hello?
Hello? What? Oi! What's this?
Podcast.
A podcast, is it?
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Travis Burlington. And I know you.
Hello, Mr. Bailiff. Burlington.
The bailiff that shut down the whole trial just when I was going to be proved innocent.
You see, that's your version of the story.
Well, and yours, happened? It sounds like.
Well... Yeah.
You also said that he was going to be proven innocent that afternoon, right before you shut down the trial.
But since
I never saw the evidence, I still believe you're guilty.
And I believe he told you the evidence.
He told me ominous foreshadowing that does not count.
Right, a likely story. You two were close friends.
I
saw his winks and his nudges and his nods.
I thought those were very subtle.
They're not.
Darn.
That must suck to be, like, the accused and just see the judge and the bailiff being like, hey, look, check out what's coming.
I feel very out of the loop.
We weren't meant to, like, alienate you. It was just, like, we were just very good friends.
It doesn't help that my lawyer didn't tell me anything either.
You don't know what the evidence was going to be.
No! He said he found something that would finally... prove me innocent. And I was so excited for it after recess, but he loves a show, and he said, you just wait, I'm going to present it. And he'd wheeled out one of those little TVs. And so I think, and I'm a bit ashamed to admit this, but I think it was about to be some footage that could place me away from the crime.
You're ashamed of where you were?
Yeah.
You know, an alibi could really help your case, Travis.
Yes, yes. I was collecting nuts.
Pardon me?
Collecting
I
nuts.
I collect nuts like a squirrel.
Oh, in your cheeks.
Yeah.
Is there a specific kind of nut, or is it all nuts, or?
Great question.
Yeah. It's pine nuts.
Pine.
Mostly pine nuts.
Why is this embarrassing?
You haven't seen the footage.
Oh, no.
Oh, heavens.
I I get into it. I really do look like a squirrel while I'm doing it, and it's incredibly embarrassing to see back. And you know, when you see yourself on a video and you think, "Is that what I look like?" Imagine that, but you're acting like a squirrel with pine nuts in your cheeks. I make a great pine nut soup. I know I'm supposed to just go pick them up like a normal person, but when I get out there in the woods and I'm excited and I'm scavenging and something takes over me. Anyways, it would have been embarrassing, but it would have got me off.
Yeah, you...
And I would have...
Oh, that's why the footage is bad.
Yeah. All right, I absolutely love it.
But you're not the one who put the J's on the sign.
No.
So if it wasn't you...
Wait.
So whoever did this was probably the person who actually wrote the J's on the sign because they didn't want you proven innocent.
Yes. And I will say, and that my lawyer kept telling me not to say this, but I wish I did put the J's on the sign because that is hilarious. And it is exposing.
It is not funny at all.
It exposes the entire town. Doesn't even know what town they're living in.
Oh, wow. That is not even true. We are just very heavily dependent on signage. That is not me.
The first letter of signage.
The first letter. Yes. That's how reading works. I don't want to go through this with you again. Anyways. So, if it wasn't you, then who could it have been?
Well, I understand. All fingers point to me. I am a known prankster in the town. But it wasn't me.
Somebody who wanted to sabotage the town.
And it would have been someone who was there at the trial, whether it was one of the news team, whether it was a jury member, someone in the audience, because they had access to that green room when recess
happened.
Can
you account for all 12 jury members out on recess?
Oh, I did. All 12 were out there, so I don't think it was them.
Okay.
Okay.
What about the news team?
Yeah, you did let in those news trucks.
I let in full trucks into the courtroom.
I didn't really touch on, but...
So back in. Yeah, so there was multiple...
And they all, like, open up the backs and just film from inside the trucks?
Yeah.
Also, I didn't know was allowed at trials. I thought that's why they had the sketch artists.
Well, you know, I'm a very lenient bailiff, you know, so I just, you know, I let some things go a little looser.
So that's why it is, like, a set. Because there truly are, like, three cameras going...
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to play, you know, to camera one, camera two, make sure your angles are good. So, trying to think. I'm trying to think of everyone that was in the courtroom that day. There was the news people, the camera people.
Do you have a stenographer? Wait. Oh, sorry.
Wait a minute.
They'd be pretty close to the judge, literally.
Yeah.
John Corey came to the room that day.
What was he doing there? The old bailiff.
Now that I'm thinking about it, what was he doing there?
I hate John Corey.
You do?
Yes, he was the bailiff on all my previous trials.
Oh.
What else have you been accused of?
Well, all elaborate pranks. Of which I did do. And I had to do some community service. I TP'd the rec center.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
What do you mean elaborate pranks?
That's a big rec center.
How many rolls of toilet paper did that take? At least 10. 20?
It was 10.
10. So much.
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
huge
it didn't
rec
even
center.
Get the whole, didn't even get the whole building, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it kind of just got like the pool part.
Yeah, I chucked a few of them in the pool.
It just got really big.
Didn't really even unfurl them. I just kind of hucked him in the pool and...
Yeah. Wow, and John Corey was your bailiff for that
just
trial.
Just for that, you went to trial, absolutely. And John Corey...
my lawyer is my brother, and he's willing to defend me on everything. So whatever it is, it's going to trial.
Ah,
because sometimes I can get out of it. But this one I didn't even do. Oop. And it got half the town. It's a way bigger deal. Anyways, the point is John Corey sucks.
Why? What would he do during your trials?
Nasty little looks.
Oh, not fun winks.
No, nasty little looks.
Oh, you see, I don't approve of nasty little looks, only fun winks. That's a shame.
And
yet
one
to
time,
go.
He slipped me a note, and it said, "You're going away for a long time." Which isn't, it wasn't even on the table that I would go to prison for that.
Oh my gosh.
I think he was obsessed with putting me away.
Hmm.
Oh, this is easy.
Perhaps okay. A motive.
This is easy. This I don't have to do a lot of constructive work on. All right.
Well, we don't know that he necessarily did the prank, but I think he murdered the judge. What was he like with the judge? Do you ever see him with the judge?
Well, the thing is, the judge is the one that fired him.
Oh boy.
So.
For what?
He has a very defensive energy, as I'm sure you're aware of.
Oh yeah.
And he's just bringing a very bad energy to the courtroom. And the judge just made a good call to be like, "It's bad. He's bringing bad juju. We just gotta let him go."
Well, I mean, I agree with you there. I just didn't know that was cause enough to fire someone.
It probably isn't, which is why he was so mad.
Yeah, true. I've seen him. I've seen him out there wandering the woods sometimes when I'm out there scavenging, and
the woods, like the woods by the judge's house.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanders in those woods. Seems lost, muttering to himself.
Interesting.
Swinging an axe around.
Wait, what?
Oh.
Well, that was it. I think he was maybe looking for firewood, maybe chopped down a tree, something like that. Okay. But it looks menacing when you see it. It's like The Shining.
Of course.
He has a nasty limp, wanders around
in the
snow.
Everything about him's nasty.
He's a nasty little guy.
Yeah, you could see why he wasn't the best to work with.
Bad vibes.
Yeah, bad vibes. Bad vibes all around.
So maybe, you think he might have wanted you to get put away bad enough that he would kill the judge to stop your evidence from coming out?
It might be a 2-for-1. If he hates the judge, hates me, all of a sudden...
Yeah, so what happens now is, because the judge is dead, what? No more evidence, no more trial for you, you just go to jail?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, no.
I'll have to check with my brother, but I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happens, which is why I'm pissed.
What we need to do is we need to find that footage of you gathering nuts. And we need to, I don't know.
That should have been in his chamber. Did you see it in his chamber? I bet John took it.
I did not see it in his chamber. We find John, we find the nuts.
The tape?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, the nuts on the tape, yes.
Yeah, Travis,
right.
You got so excited, I'm sorry to...
I thought they were nuts.
Yeah, no, probably in your cheeks. Well,
hey, okay.
Sorry.
Nice. I'm at home.
Damn.
Sorry.
I'm just sitting at home.
It was a low
mind of my own. Yeah. Well, I don't know where we can find him. He's probably on the run by now.
Maybe he went to Juno. Like the real one.
Yeah, as good a guess as any, certainly.
That could be. That could be.
But luckily, for my purposes, I don't have to track anyone down. I just need to figure out who did this, and it sounds like I have.
All right, and so, then maybe you could send him to his own trial, and then maybe he will help me and...
No, not my job. You're still going to go to jail, even though we have figured out wrongly.
Okay. Okay. Well,
sorry about that.
I will go track him down. Maybe I will find him. Get him my snowmobile.
I'm sorry that I accused you of all those crimes, Travis. It was wrong.
That's okay. No, most I did. Most of them I did do.
Yeah,
so.
You did put a couple rolls of toilet paper in the pool at the rec
Ten.
Center.
What
That's
a
lot.
Catastrophe. That
Ten
was...
is a lot.
Yeah.
Someone was trying to swim laps. They got in the way.
Well, that wraps up another successful episode of Killed to Death.
Well, good for you.
Thank you so much, Travis.
It's all well and good.
Thank a happy you, ending.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody wins.
I want to thank not Matt Probst. He did our old... I want to thank Matt Probst, who once did our theme song, and thanks, Zach Aaron, who does our current theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Brady Schumer for our art. If you have a suggestion for a murder, you can email us at killtodeathpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you don't have a suggestion for a murder, you can follow us on Instagram, killtodeathpodcast, or Twitter, K2Dpod. And that's all you're allowed to do. Except, is there anything, Clint, you would like people to check out?
Oh yeah, you know, there's this this great comedian I know named Tyra Banda. If you go on her socials at Tyra Banda on both Twitter and Instagram, you can see all of her upcoming shows, and she's quite the hilarious cat.
And that is spelt like it would be in this episode's title, all one word.
Absolutely.
All right. And Travis, anything you want to say before jail for life?
Wow. How to sum up a life on my way out. I assume I'm getting life for this. Wow. Well, I just want to thank
If the judge
anyone.
Dies, your trial's over, maximum sentence.
Yeah, I think that's the default. I'll have to check with my brother, but I think that's the default, and I just want to thank the city of Puno for all the love over the years. I mean, sure, we've had some laughs. Sure. I pissed off a few people with a prank or two. I pants some people in the town square. But at the end of the day, may the fire burn bright on that Alaskan dish. Good night, everyone.
Keep your stick on the ice.
My God.
Killed to Death is produced and recorded by Steve Cook and Griffin Toplitsky and is a proud part of the Sonar Network. Music by Zach Aaron. Art by Brady Schumer. Special thanks to Mike Mangiardi, Katie Lure, and Tom Shank. Please follow and like Killed to Death wherever you can so the boys know how to value their worth as human beings.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.